Dave and Darren now present the Top 5 Things podcast. These are the top 5 things that happened on the show, although sometimes a thing becomes another thing. It's, you know, it's hard to, it's like herding cats getting the best of together, you know? Sometimes I think, well, this thing was the one thing, and then it turned into another thing.
Yeah, it's like herding David Cat.
David Cat, who you sometimes box with.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose.
I've lost. Uh-huh. But you got it. You got to stay on your toes. You got to be quick.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the truth. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. And what we're about to do is the Top 5 Things podcast, which is presented courtesy of Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Number one. They're running a bunch of ads last night during the playoff game for the, is it a sequel series? How I Met Your Father? They're doing this on Hulu now. Instead of How I Met Your Mother, it's How I Met Your Father. All new characters, different people.
Okay, different story.
But it's the same concept,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
And I think it's Hayley Duff is the lead.
Okay.
Hayley, right?
Hayley or Hillary?
Which one was the teenage witch?
I thought it was...
Well, no, wait. She wasn't a teenage witch. She was a kid witch. Who was...
She was a man witch.
Hillary's the older one, right?
I think so.
Okay, it's Hayley then. Duff is the Ted Mosby of this How I Met Your
Mother. And then who's the voice over?
I'm glad you asked. Kim Cattrall.
Oh.
And you remember who was the voiceover in How I Met Your Mother?
Sure. Bob Saget.
I guess I completely forgot that Bob Saget was the grown-up.
I mean, how many hits did that guy have?
Why did they need to have a different voice? Like... Ted Mosby's already an adult.
Yes.
Are they saying that when you're in your 50s, you sound like a completely different person than you did in your 20s?
Well, I mean, your voice is going to maybe be somewhat different.
Mine isn't.
It's not different than when you were 20 years old.
No, sounds exactly the same.
I have a sneaky feeling that if you listen to a tape when you were 20.
I got to tell you, I can't listen to tapes when I'm 20 because I had no business doing this. Ugh.
Well, having said that, you were 10 times better than most people.
Well, that's
so
that's
you
true.
Don't want to listen to their tapes either.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you.
If you don't,
that's a shot in the arm I needed, Darren. Thank you.
If you don't care for listening to yourself, yikes, Yamahama.
Anyway, I guess I forgot that Bob Saget was part of How I Met Your Mother.
So he had that success. He had the. Of course, to a lesser extent, your Full House.
Uh-huh.
To a greater success, of course, he had America's Funniest Videos.
I mean,
that was like the number one show in America while he was hosting it for how long? 5 years or more?
Yeah, something like that. And then did he leave or did they get rid of him? Because then for a while, wasn't it Tawny Kitaen and like Josh Fugelsang or something? Or like Daisy Fuentes?
It was Daisy Fuentes and, John Fugelsang.
Tawny Kitaen was never the host of America's Funniest Home Videos?
I don't remember that.
Okay, it was Daisy Fuentes that I'm thinking.
But, I mean, I think when he... he left kind of on top, though, didn't he?
Why would you ever leave that show? You just sit there, you show a bunch of clips, and you hand out money. Why would you walk away from it? Tom Bergeron was the host.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
For a while. Yeah, let's see.
When it first came out, that's when it had its... biggest success.
Bob
right?
Saget was the host of America's Funniest Home Videos for a special in 1989 and the first 8 seasons.
8 seasons.
And then he retired from hosting in 1997, and that's when John Fugelsang and Daisy Fuentes took over.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I don't know why I thought it was Tawny Kitaen. Our guy Alfonso Ribeiro is the host now, right?
Yep. But it's not doesn't get the ratings like it used to.
No, neither do we. But my larger point is...
Well, that's not entirely our fault.
It's not. Full House, of course, the show that Bob Saget's probably most remembered for in the wake of his death. Jody Sweetin was Stephanie Tanner, right? The middle girl in the Tanner household?
Uh-huh.
She made an announcement yesterday on Instagram. She's engaged. Jody Sweetin engaged to one Mescal Wazalewski.
I married a cactus. Here's a wedding picture of us.
I would watch
look,
that
he's
show.
Waving.
I would watch that. If you were to put out a show where Jody Sweetin marries a cactus,
right.
Just call it I Married a Cactus. I would watch every episode of that.
How I Married a Cactus. Why I Married a Cactus.
And her catchphrase is, "Why are you such a prick? Wah, wah, wah."
Come and give me a hug. No, way.
No way.
No
man.
Way, prick.
So Mescal is her new fiance. Not her first fiance, though.
Oh, yeah?
Darren, I'm going to put 30 seconds
She's
on the
married?
Clock. Yeah. Yeah, she and was.
I,
she
do
has
I have
been
to figure
married.
Out who? She...
No, I'm. Here's the thing. We're going to do this Price of Right style here.
Yeah.
It's time to play the quiz sensation that everyone's talking about. How many fiancés?
Oh.
And now the star of How Many Fiancés? It's me, Dave. Darren, welcome to our very first episode of How Many Fiancés?
Oh.
Your challenge is to, with the 30 seconds allotted, tell us how many fiancés.
Okay,
Mescal Wazalewski is a new fiance for Jody Sweetin,
yes.
The young girl from Full House.
Yes.
How many fiancés has it been for
her? Okay, so we're not talking marriages.
No, we're talking fiancés.
Okay.
And go.
Six. Seven.
No, lower.
Eight.
Lower.
Five.
And there it is! This guy
Five.
Is her fifth fiance.
Has she ever been married?
We have a wiener.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah, she married all of the other fiancés.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Jody Sweetin has... Well, no, wait. She's only been married three times. This is her fifth fiance. So you're right. There was a fiance that didn't work
But this
out.
Is her fourth marriage.
It will be.
And how old is she?
Her first marriage, she's 40.
Hmm.
Or is going to turn 40 soon. She has said yes for the fifth time, announcing that she's engaged to Mescal Wazalewski after dating for 4 years. She quoted Maya Angelou before leaving fans with a romantic caption of her own saying, "I love you, Mescal, for always. You're my person. I can't wait to see the life that lies ahead for us." So I guess tomorrow's her 40th birthday.
Huh.
Yeah. She's been married three times. Her first marriage was to one Sean Holguin. That lasted for 4 years, from 2002 to 2006.
Well, that's not bad.
She then married Cody Herpin in 2007. They split in 2010. They have a daughter who's 13. And then she had a daughter who's 11 with her ex-husband, Morty Coyle.
Morty?
Morty Coyle.
That's not a real name. That's not real.
This Morty Coyle.
No, that's not
that's
real.
That's the guy's name.
No, it's not.
Morty Coyle.
No.
He's
this Morty Coyle.
Morty Coyle.
No.
Yeah, he's a composer.
Yeah, then she was also married to Morty Combat.
He's known as being an imposter kissing couple man.
What? What? No, that's not real.
Morty Coyle. This is a guy who last year went to court to reduce his $2,800 monthly child support that he receives. He was against the reduction in the $2,800 monthly child support that he was getting from her.
Tuesdays with Morty Coyle.
She's 39. He's 52.
Uh-huh.
That seems weird.
It happens.
Yeah. So this is her fourth. She also became engaged in 2016 to somebody named Justin Hodak. But those two never made it to the aisle.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now she's going to marry a cactus.
Well, I mean, he does kind of look like a cactus. This guy looks older than her, yeah?
I don't know about this at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, right? I don't know how old this cat is, but he's not about to turn 40. Looks like he's been 40 for a while. Look at that. Yeah, I mean, I know she's a mother of two and 40 years old, but this guy ought to be locked up. That doesn't seem right. Right? So five engagements, four marriages, and hopefully this is the one. The one that sticks.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Yeah, I'm trying to get an age on this guy. He looks...
Why I Married a Cactus.
I Married a Cactus. I would totally watch that show. Maybe it doesn't even have to be a sitcom. Maybe you make it like a soap opera.
Put it on Food Network.
Why on Food Network? You can't eat cactuses, yeah, can you?
You can eat cactus. Carefully. I mean, you don't want to eat them raw.
And now it's time for I Married a Cactus. When we last left Jody and her cactus husband, they were fighting because he wouldn't ask for directions.
Come give me a hug.
Oh, I hate you so much. I can't stop loving you. Why did I marry a cactus? This has been I Married a Cactus. Stay tuned for One of My Kids is a Shoebox on TLC.
Oh, baby, I'm so thorny.
He's really sharp. I'll give him that. This guy is known, the new fiancé, is a primary therapist for a recovery center in Los Angeles. He's been working there since October of 2020, according to his LinkedIn profile. Okay, well, that's good work. He's doing good work.
This year at my birthday party, please, no balloons.
Please stop trying to harvest what little water I have inside of me. Oh my gosh. I keep looking at photos of this guy, and again, she's a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And I guess
she can make her own choices.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't want to infantilize a grown woman, but this guy looks really old and sketchy.
This guy, he's not our guy.
But I mean, she's been married three times before, so she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, so she knows better.
Yeah, she knows better than me. Best of luck to them. Stephanie Tanner and her soon-to-be cactus husband. Morty Coyle's a more fascinating character, though, right? She's got to pay him child support. Because he makes his living going to sporting events and pretending that he's doing the kiss cam.
Well, that's a job.
I'm looking at his bio. He was married to Jody Sweetin.
I don't know.
He's Jody Sweetin's third ex-husband. He's the former lead singer of a band called The Imposters. And he's known as being
an imposter.
An imposter kiss cam person. Oh, he was in a movie called The Imposter, where he played Kissing Couple Man. Okay, that makes more sense than just driving around doing the kiss cam bit.
Thank goodness.
Well, I mean, they have
we've established he's an actor.
That makes more sense than what I came up with. Then he would just tour around. Now, wait a minute. You've seen enough of those videos where something's going on at the kiss cam, like there's a fight or something, and it's clearly actors. That could be someone's job.
Well, yeah, if you're hired by the team.
Right? I mean, they're always hiring different entertainments for the ball games, right?
Yeah.
Who was the couple that would come to Bandits games and their gimmick was they would change in and out of their clothing really fast? Did you ever see that act?
I don't think so.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, the gimmick is it's a man and a wife and they go out on the third baseline and they're wearing, like, six outfits and they change into all of them.
No, I don't know that
In between
one.
Innings.
I don't know that one.
They're like quick change artists.
Huh.
I remember watching it at the ball game going, how the hell is that a thing that you travel the country doing?
Can they lube my car?
Number two.
Woman hospitalized after all-you-can-eat sushi buffet goes horribly wrong. What could go wrong at an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet?
Things go wrong.
She was determined to get her money's worth at a $70 all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant.
I don't care if it is tainted.
I'm getting my money's worth.
Sure, it smells a little funny.
There was one time on the old boat. Remember the president?
Yeah.
I was a younger man.
Yeah.
And I went out gambling, and I really shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
And I think I lost like $100, which...
You didn't have $100.
I didn't.
I lost it.
I dropped $100 playing blackjack at the president.
I am not good at this.
No, it wasn't a smart decision. And then I remember vividly... sitting down.
They had comped you?
They had comped me there at the breakfast place because I had stayed there all night long. So and they had comped me. And I remember sitting down determined that I was going to eat $100 worth of bacon. I don't know how much of a dent I put into things. I mean, I had a couple of plates of it. But I never, I did not reach.
You did not eat a pig.
No. Danielle Shapiro. Actually, it was $50 on the unlimited feast at a place called Sushi 85. This is a restaurant in Mountain View, California. She was determined to get her money's worth.
Uh-huh.
32 rolls of sushi.
Rolls, not pieces.
32 rolls of sushi. She started to feel a little raw on the inside. I imagine you did.
So a roll's got like, what, 6 pieces in it, maybe?
Something like that. She was rushed to the emergency room with severe stomach pains. She was there diagnosed with gastroesophageal reflux disease. Acid reflux. She goes to this place and was TikToking.
I took in a lot of wasabi.
As she kept... putting more and more of these rolls down. She says, all you can eat sushi gone wrong. Quote, I'm a huge fan of sushi. I like to eat it a couple times a month if I'm lucky. She was planning to go to this all you can eat place with her friend. She says, we're both looking forward to the all you can eat sushi experience. Our dinner was about 2 hours long because we were so stuffed we had to keep taking breaks. She started off with miso soup.
Mm-hmm.
Then four.
That's not really going to fill you up.
4 gyozas and jalapeno poppers. She then moved on to 8 green dragon rolls, 8 snow rolls, 8 California rolls, 8 wakame rolls, and then a helping of edamame. The drive home is described here as being uncomfortable.
I don't see how anyone could eat that much. They must be talking about pieces.
She says, after an uncomfortable drive home, her belly felt very firm from all the sushi. She speculated that the rice had somehow expanded in her stomach.
Well, there's that possibility.
I didn't think that all the way through. That night, I went to sleep in my boyfriend's house, she says, and I had the worst stomach ache. But I didn't think much of it since I'd had such a huge meal.
Would have been a good idea for him to say no.
I'm not a... Yeah.
How about you just...
No.
Not tonight.
I don't care who you are. If you've been to an all-you-can-eat sushi place...
You're not going to do me any good.
You're going to sleep on the couch. She says, I am not a morning person, so when I woke up around 6 a.m. the next day, I knew something was wrong. Her boyfriend and her grandmother drove her to the hospital when she started to suffer intense chest and stomach pains. Doctors diagnosed her with acid reflux and gave her medication to alleviate her pain. She has a picture of herself here in her gown in the hospital, and the caption is, you're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Even if you're not a morning person,
yeah,
I don't care to hear that.
What do you mean?
Not a morning person. It's okay. So that what that provides you with a certain license to what?
Well, I think what she's saying is I wouldn't have been up that early if it wasn't for the fact that I was in such great pain. Right?
Don't expect anything of me until after noon.
Well, there are people that will say that, yes.
That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people aren't morning people.
No, I don't. Listen, you know, as
someone, I'm not a morning person.
Ditto.
But
ditto.
But I don't want to hear from you that you're not a morning person. So that gives you some sort of license to don't expect a damn thing from me.
On top of the fact that I ate so much sushi that I hospitalized myself.
Yeah.
You should know I'm also not a morning person.
What does that mean?
She says it took several days, despite the treatment that she got, took several days to recover and feel normal again. So will she ever eat sushi again?
Yes. That's the... That's the question.
The answer is absolutely.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. She says, I will definitely eat sushi again. This experience has not ruined sushi for me.
I know my...
The all-you-can-eat sushi experience.
Well, yeah, because maybe now she's got new limits or new...
I did learn, she says here, that next time I need to listen to my body and take things slower. Take things slower? So she's going to go back and do it over the course of 5 hours instead of two?
Yeah, maybe not new limits. Maybe she's got now expanded boundaries.
Maybe she...
Now I can take it even farther.
I knocked open a couple of quadrants in my gut.
Right, that I didn't know existed.
Right, it's a whole new world. So you're hospitalized from the all-you-can-eat sushi experience... And it almost sounds like she can't wait to go back.
Well, I've expanded my horizons.
Now that I know what acid reflux is, I'll know I'm not dying.
I know what to deal with.
Acid reflux, extremely common. It can happen to almost any of us. Symptoms include heartburn, chest pain, regurgitation of food, or sour liquid and difficulty swallowing.
Mm-hmm.
The
wasabi doesn't help.
Everybody has the one thing that they've had to drink that made them so sick they'll never drink it again, right? There are people that, like, had tequila once, had a bad experience, and just the very smell of tequila makes them sick. I can't imagine going through this all-you-can-eat sushi experience, ending up hospitalized as a result and saying, no, not only am I not off sushi...
And willing to bounce back right away.
I'm not off that restaurant. That particular restaurant.
Or that challenge.
Right? 32 sushi rolls.
She's probably thinking like Joey Chestnut wasn't a champion first time out.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have been good.
Right.
But was he world class first time out? Probably not.
Well, I didn't realize that jalapeno poppers were something they offer at an all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant. How authentic is this place?
The Amazing Larry Popper is still available at Steve's Old Time Tap, by the way.
The devil, you say.
Mm.
You can still get that for real?
Yeah. On the menu.
I mean, it's not that I'm completely over. I think when they say 32 rolls, they mean, you know, the slices.
Yeah, they can't possibly mean the actual roll.
Right. Yeah. Her warning to sushi lovers has gone viral now with like 12 million views. And she posted this online. I'm a huge fan of sushi.
Does it show her rolling around on the couch?
Well, there's a picture of her consuming the green dragon roll, and yeah, she's putting the whole thing in her mouth. She's got that maw wide open, and looks like she's enjoying herself. And then the next photo is her.
Her eyes are rolling in the back of her head as she...
That is bizarre.
As she takes in.
Yeah.
The sushi.
Yeah, it's like she's got one of those detachable jaws, and she's just... And then the next photo is her in the hospital with an IV in her.
I just go to a different place.
She's saying this is the place she will go back to.
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, in her mind.
In her mind.
Yeah. I'm not a morning person, so when I woke up at 6 a.m.,
I don't want to hear that you're not a morning person.
Also, you should know I have a very dry sense of humor.
I don't want to hear that either. Would you also like to hear some nicknames I've given myself? although we really shouldn't throw stones there.
Yeah, but we don't stick to any of our nicknames. Yeah. The gimmick of you and I having a new nickname every week, that's a tried and true gimmick. We can't even remember what the nicknames are. People who want to tell you nicknames they've given themselves, don't forget, like we did. And do. What was our most recent one?
I don't remember.
See what I'm saying? We're fine. We're not the problem. This girl is.
Chip and dip.
I don't hate that one.
Number three.
Three.
We're going to be speaking with meteorologist Andrew Stutzke here at the top of the hour, back from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, look at you.
Where last week, remember we told you that for the first time in forever, there are no Elvis shows
right
on the Strip. And someone sent in this story from the new Rolling Stone magazine.
Having said that, though, I think there is an Elvis show at one of the boats here, or one of the casinos here.
In town?
Yeah.
Like all the time, or just this
weekend? No, I just thought coming up soon. So
really?
You don't have to go to Las Vegas to see an Elvis show.
Well, I wouldn't.
I think there's one down at the Isle of Capri.
No kidding?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right. Well, this is news.
This month, even.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that going to be like the waterfront, or where's that going to be at?
I believe that's probably where it'll take place, yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So forget about Las Vegas.
How do you know about this?
I look at things. I know stuff. I'm smart.
There's this article in the new Rolling Stone that is fascinating. The story of Danny O'Day, a rogue promoter in the 70s who tried to make a living by putting cover artists on stage. Now, this wasn't done back then, right? Cover artists going on stage. In fact, he thought his way to make money was to put cover artists on stage with faces surgically altered.
Well,
to look just like the late singer they were mimicking.
Yeah, we could do that.
This started in 1977 when Danny O'Day met Dennis Wise, who sounded close enough to Elvis that O'Day convinced him to go under the knife and have his nose, cheeks, and lips made to look more like Elvis's. In 1977, by the way.
Long before Jay White killed his hair to make him look more like Neil Diamond.
Right. Give me chemical treatments to burn off the hair so I look like
so
I'm
it can never,
balding.
So it can never grow back.
Tired of always shaving this hair. O'Day made sure there was fanfare around the surgery. Dennis Wise...
Yeah, don't
talks
hide
about
it.
How there were 100 people from all over the world taking pictures.
This guy's been surgically altered to look like Elvis. You don't want to come see that. You're crazy.
O'Day was able to get this guy who was surgically altered a week-long gig in Florida for $15,000. That was the gig. But then
1 week's work?
A 1 week work. I got you a gig for $15,000. Now $15,000 in 1977 would be like $60,000 a week right now.
Yeah, but what's the cost of the surgery?
Well, there's that. And also it says here the professional relationship soured after Wise, the guy who had been surgically altered to look like Elvis, said he never got paid.
Well,
and then he sued.
There's always that rub.
And that's when Danny O'Day decided, Elvis, that's just not enough. He came up with something he called Rock and Roll Heaven, a tour he dreamed up that would feature not just an Elvis, but also a surgically altered Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Jim Croce.
Why does everyone have to be surgically altered?
All four singers he found got surgery at a cost... In 1977, a cost of $500,000. Some of the surgeries were less invasive than what the original Elvis impersonator underwent. But nobody cared. The audience never materialized, and a run at Vegas also fell apart because this promoter was unwilling to let the casino take the reins of the show. O'Day would die in 2003. They call him in the article from Rolling Stone here the smallest of footnotes in pop history books.
Did he get surgically altered to look like anybody?
What, Brian Epstein? Who's he going to get?
I don't know. Leggy Mountbatten.
It's worth pointing out, though, that like he kind of came up with the idea of a Vegas residency.
And, yeah. And tributes.
And having a tribute, exactly, act that he was coming up with nostalgia. No one at the time thought that would be a business. It's actually pretty lucrative. People make
sure
a ton of money.
Been.
Yeah, people make a ton of money going around pretending to be other people. What did I see at River Music Experience? There was going to be, and maybe it's already happened, there's a Nirvana tribute that calls themselves like Nirvana or something. And, you know, the idea is, look at how much he looks like Kurt. And your MO is you want to make sure you sit far enough away.
Yeah, you don't want to be right on top of him.
I'm looking at this kid that's going to come and do Elvis.
Yeah.
He looks an awful lot like Elvis.
Or Chris Isaac.
Ryan Pelton.
It's a Chris Isaac tribute.
Ryan Pelton will be at the Waterfront Casino on Friday night.
This Friday?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Quad Cities Waterfront Convention Center, 7:30 on Friday night.
What do they want for that?
You got to be 21 or over to attend.
Okay, check.
Yeah, no flash photography or video cameras allowed.
I guess maybe I could restrain myself.
There will be no refunds on ticket sales.
What does that mean?
Outside doors, skywalk, and inside doors open at 6:30.
Yeah, show when?
Show's at 7:30. If we really wanted to go see this Elvis impersonator...
What's the price?
$15.
And does that come with a buffet?
No. Why would it come with a buffet?
Just ask.
I don't think they have the buffet anymore.
I think
that's something
that... Yeah, they probably don't.
The one in Bettendorf, I think that went away and never came back as a result of all the unpleasantness. There's a preferred seating for $20 or general admission for $15.
You want to be in the back.
Yeah, I'd throw $15 to see this
closer
kid.
Closer to the beer.
This kid, 20, I'm calling him a kid. I don't know how old this picture is from, because it says here Ryan Pelton in 2001 was declared the world champion when he won the Worldwide Images of the King contest in Memphis.
Well, there you go.
So he's been doing this for a while then. I don't know when this picture was
and
taken.
And his name's Peloton?
Ryan Pelton. Ryan Pelton, a tribute to the King. He looks a lot like Elvis, though. Does he sound anything like him?
Well, I'm sure he does. Otherwise, what's the point?
All right. I gotta...
You're thinking about it, aren't you?
You're damn right I'm thinking about it.
Too bad they don't have like a noon show.
That would be ideal. Yeah, that would be ideal. All right, they show him singing, but I'm not hearing him sing. God, they have a Ed Sullivan impersonator come out and introduce him.
That's right.
Look at this Ed Sullivan impersonator.
Looks like he's going to throw up.
That's not good.
Looks like he's got angina.
Now I'm very frightened. Okay, you lost me once you... There's also a guy who comes out and pretends he's Ed Sullivan.
Give him another dollar. Baby, love. Come back, baby, love. Is that Ed Sullivan? Sounds more like Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, I will not be going to this on Friday. I've reconsidered.
I've got previous plans.
Yeah, I got other stuff to do.
Number four.
The Cowboys, we mentioned this yesterday on the show, the Dallas Cowboys losing in pretty spectacular fashion. I mean, embarrassingly spectacular fashion. That last play, I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, yeah, but still the idea that even if you had time left on the clock,
right,
the idea that you're going to score on the next play from what are they on the 30-yard line or something?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Incredibly unlikely.
Yeah.
It's true. But someone has some thoughts on what they need to do in Dallas.
Gotcha.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. All right.
Yours truly, if you don't recognize the voice, yours truly is O.J. Simpson, Orenthal James Simpson, has some thoughts that he wants to share on the Dallas Cowboys.
All morning, it's the Cowboys. It seems to be like, enough with the Cowboys. Come on. The game shouldn't even been close if it wasn't for some 49er miscues in the fourth quarter. Garoppolo missing Ayuk wide open, throwing an interception at the worst possible time and actually snapping the ball before the line was settled on a quarterback sneak. If none of that had happened, the 49ers would have ran away with the football game. And I'm sure Dak, after seeing things today, is going to apologize to those officials. Dak was wrong.
He did not apologize to those officials. But, you know, I'll say this. People have done worse things. Some people have done much, much worse things.
I don't know. Kind of just standing up for his whole team.
The 49ers?
Yeah.
We're right. Seems like they need a new coach. I got a suggestion. Go get Flores, the guy that just left Miami. I think he learns his lesson. He had some, I guess, people problem in Miami. That's why he's out. He's a winning coach. In Dallas, he won't have to worry about personnel and people. Jerry Jones has done a great job bringing personnel in there. All he has to do is coach the football team. And I guarantee you, he will make them a much tougher football team.
How'd you like to be Mike McCarthy and hear that O.J. Simpson thinks you should be fired?
I'm surprised that Juice doesn't have a calendar that he offers where basically he just has life advice for every day. Let's see. January 18th.
But instead of life advice, it's just him bragging about how well he played golf that day.
Well,
after January 5th, he's lost interest.
There is mention of that.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw him, but O.J. Simpson thinks you should be fired.
You know, I'm kind of want to say enough. Bruce Willis, I guess, to paraphrase him in Pulp Fiction. Enough for the sorry poor Cowboys. Let's move on and talk about the prosperous Buffalo Bills. Go Buffalo!
Again.
Congratulations. And I still got that hope that Buffalo one day will be playing the 49ers in a Super Bowl. Hey, there is a chance, and I would look forward to that.
Yeah, well, let's call it the OJ Bowl. Sure. Does he think doing these little videos where he offers his opinion on the NFL that, like, this is going to lead to work? Does OJ think, you know, if I put together my thoughts on what's going on in the NFL, that someday they'll welcome me back?
I tell you what, if you get the 49ers and the Bills, I'd be happy to come out and do the coin toss. I don't think there'd be a dry eye in the house.
Heads or tails? Oh, wait, ooh. I shouldn't have said heads.
Oh, boy. Ugh. Am I drawing attention to myself again? You know, I lived in L.A. for a while. It's all coming together.
I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well.
San Francisco, Buffalo, Los Angeles.
I'm just happy the Browns aren't playing. I hate the Browns. Well, one of them, at least. O.J.,
enough.
Quit drawing attention to yourself. Of course, people having fun with this post on Twitter for O.J. Simpson, where he's calling again for
the firing.
The firing of Mike McCarthy. Here's some responses. O.J., we need a coach with a cutthroat attitude. Maybe you have someone in mind. O.J., they should take a stab at it for sure. OJ, I think it's difficult for a team like the Cowboys to find someone who fits their organization like a glove. McCarthy is okay, but he never had that killer instinct. Relax, Juice. No one needs to lose their head over this. Good advice, OJ. Sometimes if things aren't going right, you just have to make a clean cut and start fresh.
Off to the golf course. Stop with all these exotic animals, you white people.
Okay, he's not wrong about that one.
Yeah, he's got that right.
No, I complete agreement.
Five.
Number five.
Story of a woman who has been charged with attempted grand theft and false report to authorities after she faked her own kidnapping. She told detectives that she wanted a break from her husband, so she staged her own kidnapping from a local Domino's pizza restaurant where she worked as a delivery driver.
How do you think I ended up in this pillowcase?
The incident began around 10 p.m. February 10th of last year. This woman called her husband and said she was surrounded by multiple subjects who had a gun and were demanding money.
And pizza.
Her husband told law enforcement in the report that during the phone call, he thought he heard pounding on the window and a car door opening before the line went dead. Almost immediately, he started to get text messages demanding money for the safe return of his wife.
From her phone?
As law enforcement responded to the dominoes and were speaking with employees, one employee started to get texts from the woman saying, quote, call the cops and she's hurt. Get the money and she leaves without harm. Have it by 2 p.m. tomorrow and she will be without harm. Officers tracked the woman's last known delivery location but couldn't find her, even though the person who received the pizza said he didn't notice anything unusual during their interaction.
No, good pizza.
Was she a great big fat person?
Meanwhile, the woman's husband was being interviewed at the law enforcement center and getting texts from his wife's phone and then a new phone number. The new number text just said, I just want to come home. And another one that said, I don't have long. I love you. Please help. The new number investigators found came from a company that lets the user generate phone numbers and use data rather than a cell network. Police were able to ping this woman's phone to a Culver's restaurant in Brookings, South Dakota.
And where did she start?
Sioux Falls.
Okay.
They found her at a, they pinged it. They found the phone at a Culver's. That's when the SWAT team was activated.
Bringing in SWAT at the Culver's.
In color. They found the woman's car with her and another man inside. They then interviewed her and said that she'd been entering her tips on her phone after finishing her delivery when she was surrounded by several subjects who demanded her phone. She said that one of the male subjects used her phone and was texting for a while and then gave her the phone back. Investigators called the woman out on the inaccuracies of her story when then she admitted that she sent the text message to her husband and her coworker, and then she admitted that she had never been kidnapped.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
If you're the SWAT team up there.
Yeah.
And you come in.
Oh, come in. This is
come in, guns a-blazing.
Are you asking me if I'm the Brookings, South Dakota SWAT team?
Yes.
I can't imagine there's a lot of action that they get, right?
Well, but you've got action today.
Yeah.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
You come in, you take care of business.
Oh, yeah, we do.
You settle the score.
Hell yeah.
Do you go ahead and get something to eat while you're there?
At Culver's?
Take a little something back to the...
I don't know. What's the Sunday of the day? What are we dealing
what
with?
What kind of custard are we looking at?
What do we got today? Maybe.
I have to think you take a little something back to the...
Yes!
To the office.
Yes! If nothing else, just to come down from the rush.
Right.
Putting on your SWAT equipment.
Uh-huh.
And then you're running this just some chick and a phone and a car with another guy.
No reason not to pick up a couple better burgers, right?
No!
Maybe some fish.
I mean, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not bringing back food for the whole SWAT team, but...
Well, the whole SWAT team's there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not my job to feed everybody.
No, but everybody. Let's just, you know, as opposed to...
I wouldn't... You know what? Maybe I'd get a family-sized curds and say, you know, why don't we go in on this, guys?
Let's share this on the way back.
Yeah. Yeah, I need somebody to hold the wheel while I dip my curds in ranch dressing and ketchup. She will be arraigned now. She's in jail. She'll be arraigned next week,
yeah,
according
you can't
to these
do
court
that.
Documents. Faking a kidnapping is one thing, but how about faking your own death? That's what Nicholas Rossi is accused of doing. American man believed to have faked his death facing extradition after they just picked him up in a hospital in Glasgow, Scotland. Nicholas Rossi, 34 years old, wanted by Interpol.
Uh-oh. Oh, Interpol's after
me. That's not great. He faces a charge of rape in Utah. He was admitted to the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital in December in Glasgow with COVID-19. He checked himself into the hospital using an alias, Arthur Knight. Police Scotland say he was detained under an international arrest warrant. Authorities here have confirmed that Mr. Rossi is also known as Nicholas Alahervadin from Rhode Island, where he was involved in local politics and was a frequent critic of the state's child welfare system. He told the media here in the States back in 2019 that he had late-stage non-Hodgkin lymphoma and had weeks to live. Several outlets reported that he died in February of 2020. In fact, there's a memorial posted online that declared him a warrior that fought on the front lines for 2 decades for children's rights. Also said that his ashes were scattered at sea. Here's the problem. He wasn't sick and he never died. This guy was found on a ventilator there in Glasgow when Interpol visited him. Arrested by the cops in Scotland on behalf of the cops in Utah. So now this guy is going to be sent from there to here, where he will answer for whatever crimes he may have committed. The Utah charges come from an initiative to review historical sex assault cases where DNA evidence kits had not been tested. He was a suspect in a rape in 2008. 10 years later, a DNA review connected him to another sexual assault case in Ohio. Investigators believe that he left the country, and that's, I guess, when Interpol gets involved. And they got their guy, faking his death, only to be caught because he was trying to extend and prolong his life. Like, if you fake your death...
That's a lot of work. That's nonstop.
Right? They had a memorial and everything for this guy after he died. The memorial mass was arranged after he died, in quotes. And there's a reporter here that tells the story that the priest was putting all the pieces in place for a memorial mass that had been arranged when the priest's phone rang. And it was a detective from the Rhode Island State Police who told him, "Don't put the mass on. We think he's alive." And this would be a complete fraud of a memorial service. That's pretty telling when you're a priest and you get a phone call that says, "Stop the service. Don't go through with the mass."
"Is it all over, Rock?"
"I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this."
Man, I tell you what, you two are all over the place.
Really?
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for listening to it. Thanks for subscribing and downloading. And yeah, like I said, you obviously listened because you made it to the very end. And it turns out we were the monster at the end of the book. This podcast presented by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have 2 locations, one in Milan, one in Galesburg. They're both open now 7 days a week, and you can order items from both locations online through Leafly. You'll find that at the website ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.